You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, rolling along. Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. A lot of stuff in the hopper today. We've been a lot of different places. We have a few others to go. Did you hear what my buddy Rich Eisen said on his show the other day? This was in my notes this morning, the get-up notes, and we meant to get it on the TV show, and we didn't. But I really want to play it here. So Rich is a very respected and very well-plugged-in guy. He's not a classic insider, you know, I mean, he's not shefty, but he's certainly, based upon his position and his standing and his experience, is a person in the know, and he'll be having conversations with people. So when he comes back from the combine and says this, I think it's worthy of listening to.
Number three of my top five rumors I heard at the combine is the Giants are absolutely done with Daniel Jones.
Wow.
Done.
Wow. Absolutely done.
Done. Might have to play him this year.
Whoa.
But that ain't it. And they feel that ain't it. The words I heard at the combine multiple times, two words were buyer's remorse.
So I think that's interesting in a variety of ways. It's funny how fast life comes at you in the NFL, right? Like, we've talked so much this offseason so far about Justin Fields and that situation. And he can't find a home right now. I mean, the Giants last year willingly paid Daniel Jones a huge amount of money. I mean, the only reason it isn't a bigger topic of conversation is that they structured it in such a way, he was willing to structure it in such a way that they can get out of it in 2 years. But when the best thing you can say about a contract is, well, if it goes south, it won't kill us for long. That's a deal you knew going into it was bad. Like, who thought that was a good idea at the time that they did it? I just don't understand it. And when we were going to talk about this on TV today, we didn't get a chance to say it. One of the guys who was coming on our show today was going to make the point, the Giants were bidding against no one. They were bidding against, you just said I was arguing against a straw man about something else. They were arguing against a straw man. They were bidding against a team out there that was going to be willing to pay Daniel Jones $40 million under the supposition that there was a team out there that was going to be willing to pay Daniel Jones $40 million. Now, look, God bless Daniel Jones. He's going to wind up making more money than all but 0.00001% of Americans will ever make in their lifetimes. And far be it for me to begrudge him that. But who on earth thought that was a good idea in the first place?
Well, we obviously talked about it at great length at the time, and what the strongest defense for it was Daniel Jones is our best option, and when paired with Brian Daboll, has demonstrated that he can play the position at a high level. So what they did was give him a four-year, $160 million contract, in which they guaranteed him $81 million. $81 million! The time that he signed the deal. Now, obviously, in hindsight, it was incredibly foolish, and if they had to make a binary decision, they would have been much better off having paid Saquon Barkley, having franchise tag Daniel Jones, even though that would make his salary a little bit higher, but at least that way you can get out of it after 1 year if you must. The problem that the Giants made, the problem with the Giants' decision is that they did the thing that you're not supposed to do. You paid the quarterback after the outlier season. Daniel Jones had proven that he was not only injury prone, but also not that good. And they paid him after he was both healthy and really good. That was their mistake.
Yeah, I think that's right. And whether they should have paid Saquon or not, the suggestion also was brought up that there was a belief, and I don't know how meaningful this is, but that the Giant locker room was impacted adversely by those decisions because they all love Saquon and they all recognize that Saquon was the whole reason why they were accomplishing what they were accomplishing 2 years ago when they were sort of the apple of everybody's eye because they so overachieved relative to their expectations. And they promptly paid the quarterback. The coach got coach of the year. Here we are a year later. Brian Daboll's on the hot seat. Saquon Barkley, by 4:01 this afternoon, is going to be on his way to another team. And they've still got Daniel Jones. And that's pretty much where you are. So we'll see. I mean, I've said it for weeks. I believe the Giants need to make a move for a quarterback in this draft. I think it's a smart place. Or go get Justin Fields. The Giants should get Justin Fields. Define how would it work. Trade a second-round pick or something like that to the Bears and acquire Justin Fields.
So are you building an off-ramp for Daniel Jones, or is he just going to sit on your bench and earn $47 million?
He's going to sit on my bench and earn $47 million. Is Daniel Jones even going to be healthy when the season starts? When did he tear up his knee?
It was early November, if memory serves. The expectation is that he will be ready for week one, but not for the preseason, from what I understand.
Bring in another guy who's good, young, and talented, and in whom you do not have to make a lengthy commitment. You commit to Justin Fields for 2 years. You have a commitment to Daniel Jones for one. They have similar playing styles.
They do, yeah.
Right? They have. If you were to list their traits, they're positive traits. They're pretty similar. Justin Fields would get there. He would get all the preseason work, all the offseason work, all that stuff while Daniel Jones is rehabilitating his knee. Let the best man win the job whenever that happens and hope that one of them plays great. And that's a winning scenario no matter how you do it.
I'm very intrigued by that theory, or at least I think it could work because we don't ever do quarterback competitions in the NFL. And it's not obvious to me as to why we don't. These are guys that have competed their entire lives. The same way that we decide, you know, once you get to the NFL, no, we're going to give guys jobs now, but only quarterbacks. So it's very intriguing to me. But the idea of putting those two guys together, Jones and Fields, I think might make for an untenable quarterback
room. Graziano brought this up the other day.
Daniel Jones is hurt. He's going to have a rehab offseason. If you trade for Justin Fields and you're the Giants, he's going to take all of your offseason reps and maybe play for you in the preseason while Daniel Jones gets healthy. Who knows if Daniel Jones can be healthy enough to start the season? You may have an option there that you like. They play in an offense that leans a little bit on a mobile quarterback already, so some of the aspects of his game might translate. And if he were to hypothetically, you know, perform well in the preseason and then you feel good about Daniel Jones coming back, somebody else's quarterback gets hurt, you might be able to flip Justin Fields. So I like it for the Giants for a number of reasons. I have no idea if the Giants do.
Yeah, I mean, I think he makes a lot of sense. And I think that is a reasonable thing to do. I think the world perceives, we've talked this morning a lot about how sometimes the world perceives things one way and the truth is another way. I think the world perceives Bill Belichick to be staring over Brian Daboll's shoulder. I have no idea how true that is. I don't know John Mara at all. So, I know him to say hello to. But my point is, my perception is that Mara and Belichick have maintained a very close relationship built on, among other things, a great deal of mutual respect over the years, and that Belichick, in his heart of hearts, would love to finish his career as the coach of the Giants, and that Mara would be very open to that. And he's the one who makes these decisions. So I think if that is true, then I think there is a level of urgency right now, if you're Brian Daboll and the people may, and even Joe Shane, because if Belichick comes, Belichick is ultimately going to be the person in charge no matter what. So if you're urgent, you know, do you want to draft J.J. McCarthy and start developing a young guy? Or do you want to bring in a guy who could probably run the offense you've been running at least as well as the guy who's been, you built it for? Look, I know Daniel Jones drafted 6th and Justin, I believe, was drafted 11th.
That sounds right.
But the college careers of Justin Fields and Daniel Jones do not compare to each other, right? Justin Fields had one of the great college careers you'll ever see. He was an unbelievable player in college. His ceiling is 100. His ceiling is so much higher than Daniel Jones's ceiling that you can't even see it. So Daniel Jones could be, if everything goes right and he's coached up really well, could be an effective player. Justin Fields, if everything goes right, I think could be a great player.
So the
that's
Giants,
a big difference.
So the Giants pick at 6, 39, 47, and 70. just in terms of what they might be able to trade. Regardless of what you think of Daniel Jones as a player, what can be said for certain is that he is highly unreliable. In five seasons in the NFL, he has played one full one, and he has had a variety of injuries, including neck injuries and a torn ACL. All right, his playing style and his track record say that he's not likely to stay on the field. So if nothing else, Justin Fields would provide you really, really attractive Daniel Jones insurance and very likely an upgrade at the quarterback position, because Justin Fields, let's be honest, does have a fairly similar skill set to Josh Allen when he came into the league, whom Brian Daboll turned into an all-pro caliber player in his third season.
I like every part of this. The more I think about this, the more I like it. Cam, how do you like it?
I like it. Sorry, I was distracted. There's a little bit of a breaking news on Twitter that is expected but is still happening.
Okay. Can someone tell it to me?
Or do we have to guess this?
I didn't know if you wanted to say it yourself, but the Giants are not placing the franchise tag on Barkley, so he's free to leave at any time.
So that is as was expected. So there you go. All right, Bubba, here we go. I'm gonna put it on a tee. And I let you smack it 300 yards right down the middle of the fairway. Who should be on the phone with Saquon Barkley at 4:01 today?
Jerry Jones.
Absolutely.
Come on.
Saquon Barkley is exact. What do you mean, come on?
That's a terrible idea.
Why?
Absolutely wretched idea.
Why?
Because they have so many more people that they need to pay before a player that plays a boutique position. They have a quarterback who's going to put you in cap hell. They have a wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb who's due. Micah Parsons is due. All sorts of problems along the spine of your defense. Micah Parsons is going to get more expensive every offseason that you wait to pay him. Mm. They have massive holes along the spine of their defense, and you're telling me that they need to pay a running back?
Yeah.
That's outrageous. They have so many more issues before they pay a running back. So
I don't think Saquon Barkley is a running back in the way you are using it as a pejorative.
Tell me why.
I think Saquon Barkley is closer to Christian McCaffrey than he is to Larry Zonka.
Replacement level running back runs the ball?
No, yes, that's what I meant. Forgetting replacement level, but someone who actually is an offensive weapon. I think you put it, he is exactly what the Cowboys didn't have in their offense last year. He is the
three down back.
He is what Zeke Elliott was at Zeke Elliott's best, only he's a better receiver than Zeke ever was. He can make Tony Pollard what Tony Pollard is meant to be, which is a third down back
right.
or a big play specialist or an accent piece, however you want to describe
Pollard's
it.
Pollard's probably out, to be honest.
And he's not going to cost you that much money. Look, Saquon Barkley, at this stage of his life and this moment in time, I think has to know he's not getting paid huge money. That's not what's out there. So whatever it is anyone's going to pay him, the Cowboys should be willing to pay him. I wouldn't pay Micah Parsons now. No way. You can pick up his fifth-year option. You have two more years of Micah Parsons. What are we in a hurry for?
Fair enough. I hear you on Parsons.
And Dak is going to redo
his deal.
Though
I disagree. So
Dak is going to redo his deal and make it however cap-friendly it needs to be.
How about CeeDee Lamb? He's going to keep going year to year with him too?
No, CeeDee Lamb is 1 year ahead of that, right?
Yes, so he's 1 year ahead.
He's closer.
He's closer.
He has played 4 years.
Drafted in 2020, yes.
So, yeah, no, do his deal at market level, whatever the top guys are getting.
And
then
what do you do about that defense that keeps getting gutted in the playoffs?
I don't know. If that defense wasn't – there was a moment in time at the beginning of last season where we thought that defense – we were talking about it being one of the great defenses of all time. I'm old enough to remember that conversation. So Trayvon Diggs got hurt. Jonathan Hankins got hurt. They had a bunch of other factors. They can go out and get pieces to make that defense a lot better that aren't costing you a fortune. You don't have to spend on free agent defenders that are going to be first-day free agent signings. You go out and you get yourself a couple of decent players because they have great ones on that defense already. And where do they pick?
You're Hold starting to warm me up to the logic a little bit, Bubba.
The Cowboys pick 24th. Mm-hmm. I'm looking here. They have Troy Fatanu, who is an offensive lineman from Washington, who I like a lot, actually. That's who Jordan Reed is mocking them here in round one. And then let me see what he's got for them in round two, because you could certainly address some defensive needs there. The Cowboys, who have drafted very well.
Yeah, they have. They have. They pick at 56.
They actually have him taking a running back, Trey Benson from Florida State, who I've not done yet, so I can't tell you much about
But he'd
Trey
be
Benson.
Cheap there.
He'd be a lot cheaper than Saquon.
Bubba, whose side are you on this? Do you like my more economically responsible route where you just piecemeal running back, or Greenies where you're still viewing Saquon as a difference-making three-down, two-way back at this juncture of his career? What do you think?
Well, I think the main thing is I'm not spending a ton of money on Saquon. I don't want to spend a ton of money on Saquon. So to Greeny's point, I think we're getting him for less money. So I would agree, yes. To Hembo's point, I don't want to spend a lot of money on running backs. That's where we got in this poor position with Ezekiel Elliott. He was great when he was on the rookie contract, but the problems became when we paid him a lot of money. So if Saquon, for whatever reason, wants a ton of money, I would say no. Let's just draft some. But if we're able to get him for a cheap price, I agree with Greeny that he can be a difference maker. And then we can also draft someone, because the guys we've drafted so far haven't really worked out too well. But I'm open to getting him for a cheap deal, for sure.
And I would add this to the conversation. Saquon feels to me, just from my distant vantage point, as a person who is aware of his post-football life. You know, he's. I think that was one of the things that appealed to him about being a Giant. There is no place that sets you up more, that makes you more of a star, than going to play in Dallas. Saquon Barkley on the Cowboys becomes a megawatt star in the National Football League. If he plays well, even more than he has been to this point in his career, I think that matters. Coming up next, we got to give the ultimate credit where the ultimate credit is due. That's next on ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast. Earlier on Greeny.
Jason Kelce of the Philadelphia Eagles, featured in People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive issue. Patrick Dempsey won the award this year, also featured Timothée Chalamet, Jamie Foxx, Usher, and Lenny Kravitz. Do we think I'm sexier than any of them?
Usher, I think, is the sexiest of those men. He was in person once on Mike and Mike. I think he's the best-looking person I've ever seen.
Lenny Kravitz is pretty sexy, too. If you insisted on me picking one of these...
Lenny, no one did.
Well, no, I'm the...
Literally no one is insisting that.
This is Greeny.
Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. That was a good choice of intros to our conversation, where we're going to pay the ultimate credit, or give the ultimate credit, to someone who richly deserves it. We'll do that in 30 seconds. After this, reminder that ESPN Bet is now live as the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Well, out goes Jason Kelce yesterday in a news conference that, if you watched it, if you didn't already love him, would have made you love him. That was one of the most appealing retirement announcements that I've ever seen. Someone who I think to most of the nation is probably better known as Travis Kelce's brother than he is as one of the two or three greatest centers that ever lived and one of the most beloved athletes in the hard knock city of Philadelphia. He went out with such class. The stuff he said was just terrific. His approach, his attitude, everything about it was great. And for you Philly guys, starting with you, Hembo, that was something special to watch.
It's the most perfect union there ever was, Jason Kelce and Philadelphia, because Jason Kelce was the embodiment of everything that we are or strive to be. He wasn't just in the city, he was of the city. A sixth-round pick after being a walk-on at the University of Cincinnati, who turned himself into the person that I believe is genuinely the best center in the history of the NFL. A player over the course of about a decade and a half across head coaches, across quarterbacks, across offensive systems, across two Super Bowl runs, one in which culminated in the Eagles winning their first Super Bowl in franchise history. Jason Kelce became effectively the face of a franchise in a city that will always be a football town. And I would posit that Philadelphia is the only city in America in which a center, the least glamorous, least celebrated position on the field, could actually become that. I think Jason Kelce is as celebrated, as revered, as beloved in the city of Philadelphia as any athlete we have ever had, or certainly any athlete of my lifetime. And it has been a pleasure for the last decade and a half to watch him play that position as well as anyone ever has.
So I'm trying to think, Cam, jump in here. Your thoughts on, first off, on him. Give us some thoughts on Jason Kelce.
Everything Hembo said is true. He's larger than life, but also the most humble, down-to-earth guy seemingly that you could meet. So I always have a soft spot for the guys that I grew up watching, like McNabb, Westbrook, Dawkins, those kind of guys. But as far as my modern adult life, there's no Philly athlete that more embodies what I like as a Philly sports fan than Jason Kelce does. And he, on top of that, is one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player in franchise history. So after we finished the show here, I do some things in the control room, and his press conference was starting at 1. I was like, all right, I'll stick around and watch it, thinking it would go for 5-10 minutes. He talked for 45 minutes, and you know, half of that was fighting through tears, but he's a very, very good writer. He was very like passionate, fit in stuff that only Philly fans would get. So he was just absolutely gripping to watch off the field, just as he was on it, and he can do literally anything he wants. So I'm going to miss him both as just someone to root for and as an embodiment of what this city is. So he's a legend. So it's tough to see him go.
You'll be seeing a lot of him. I mean, to be clear, Jason Kelce is about to become a media superstar in whatever way he chooses to define that, whether it's the traditional, you know, TV network route, or, you know, that he and his brother already have a monstrous podcast and whatever else it is he decides to do. He can at this point do pretty much whatever he wants. It is interesting when you think about like the greatest athletes in a city's history, or the most beloved, or whatever it is. Those aren't necessarily the same thing, because the greatest and the most beloved are not always the same thing. Like, is Kelce among, he's got to be among the greatest players in Philly. Who are the greatest players in Philly sports history? Like, I see some names written down here, but they're all football players. So this would only include the Eagles. Because when I think, if you ask me, and again, all this is a function of how old you are. If you say to me, in my lifetime, who's the best player ever on any of the Philadelphia teams? I think my inclination would be to say Mike Schmidt.
Yeah.
If it's not, there was a time in my very young childhood where I perceived Steve Carlton to be the best pitcher in baseball. He was on terrible teams, right? Those were
terrible.
Really bad Phillies teams. He was a great pitcher. Then you fast forward a little bit. You had that era with the Sixers when you had Julius, and obviously he might have been the most beloved player in the NBA in that era. He was dazzlingly beloved. And then for about a 2-year period, Moses Malone was the most dominant player in the league, but he wasn't there nearly long enough to make this list. So that's those teams. The Flyers, you know, that's not really my area of expertise. Obviously, the Broad Street Bullies are well-remembered and well-regarded, but I can't sit here and tell you who the greatest players to go through that organization are. So then that brings you to the Eagles. Like, who are the greatest Eagles ever? Is it Chuck Bednarik? Is it Reggie White? Who are the greatest Eagles?
Chuck Bednarik has always been considered the greatest Eagle of all time. That has been the prevailing opinion of most people in the city, even those of us that never watched him play. But I think what makes Jason Kelce unique and special, unlike Mike Schmidt, who is inarguably a greater baseball player, I think, than Jason Kelce was a football player. But the relationship that Schmidt and the city had were not the same. Mike Schmidt once said, "Philadelphia is a city where you can experience the thrill of victory and the agony of reading about it the next day."
Right.
That was the relationship that he had with Philadelphia. Jason Kelce's relationship with Philadelphia was a love affair. I met Jason a few months ago at Sal Palantonio's Hall of Fame induction at some local event, and he was the most popular person I've ever seen in any room, Jason Kelce. He took a picture with everybody. He talked with everybody. Like, the atmospherics in the room changed when he was there. Jason Kelce was not only as great at what he did as you could possibly be, but he was also as open and as welcoming and as humble and as genuine that a person can possibly be. All of the attributes that we care about as Philadelphia sports fans, he exuded. And so it was sort of the perfect match made. And that 2017 Eagles team, the first to ever bring the city a Super Bowl title, he's the face of, and he will be until the end of time.
I get that, and that's fine. Attaching a little too much significance to all sports towns love those guys. You're acting like we should cross off the list the towns that hate the humble superstars who brought their lunch bucket
you're wrong
to
about
work
that.
Every
you're
day.
Wrong about that.
What part of it am I wrong
you're
about?
You're wrong about that.
Chicago loves those guys, and then they got Michael Jordan.
What I'm saying is that Philadelphia, Cam, I don't know if you agree or disagree with this as someone who loves these teams like I do, but Philadelphia is more attracted to the blue-collar superstar than the average fan in America. I can say that definitively.
No, I don't know about that. Have you been in a cab in Pittsburgh lately? I mean, there are a lot of these towns that love guys like that. The bottom line of it is this. Mike Schmidt played a position where every now and again, in a big moment, he struck out.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kelce did not. All right, so if Jason Kelce had been a quarterback, they would have booed him, just like they boo everybody else.
No doubt.
Because he would have thrown an interception. He played a position where you never saw whatever mistakes
he made.
Which
is what makes his career so much more extraordinary. And what makes the glamour and celebrity of what Jason Kelce became even more unprecedented. That's the point that I'm trying to make. I'm not suggesting that if he wasn't a third baseman or a quarterback that he wouldn't have been booed. I'm just saying the confluence of circumstances that led us here is one that creates a demigod in the city. That's what I'm saying.
That's fine. I'm not arguing that. What I am saying, however, is being a great offensive lineman is an interesting thing to be because most of what you're hearing, most of the fans are just taking that on someone else's word, right? Like, I can't watch a game and tell you what Jeff Saturday could sit and watch Jason Kelce play a game. I guess maybe the tush push would be the one example.
Oh, the play that the NFL is talking about banning because he was so freaking good at it?
That play? The one play that makes a center stand out. But let's not act like they've been running the tush push for the entire 13 years that he's been there.
I've posted on my Twitter feed, in case you're interested, a list of many of the franchise records the Eagles have broken in the last 13 years. And the constant that you can say about all of them is that Jason Kelce was the center. Jason Kelce. You just mentioned Jeff Saturday. Howard Mudd was the Eagles offensive line coach who said, "That guy reminds me of Jeff Saturday, and that's why I drafted him." I texted with Jeff Saturday this morning, and we exchanged some notes on that because Jeff Saturday is effectively the reason that my favorite Eagle became this. Jason Kelce is everything to us, and Jason Kelce, in my judgment, is the best player in the history of that position. Over the course of 13 years, the Eagles have enjoyed immense, unprecedented franchise success, and it has been he that has been the constant on that offensive side of the ball. When Carson Wentz was taking all that sacks, he said nothing but good things about him. When Chip Kelly was doing all sorts of stupid things, he kept his mouth shut. And with two different quarterbacks in 2017, a backup in Nick Foles, and then 5 years later in Jalen Hurts, an underdog in his own right, who had been benched at the halftime of a national championship game, that's the team. That's the team that won the Super Bowl for the Eagles 5 years ago with the backup quarterback. And Jason Kelce is the embodiment of that. And he played that position at such a high level. He was Fred Astaire with a 300-pound frame. He did it as well as anyone could ever do it.
So, two things. One, Ray Necci, whom you know, just texted me, and he's right. Hembo doesn't talk about his family the way he talks about Jason Kelce.
No, that's true.
I think it is arguable right now that you love Jason Kelce more than you love any member of your family.
I mean, to date, he has brought me more joy.
Second, this is worth, profootballreference.com attaches an approximate value to a center.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not that high on this list, for whatever this is worth. Now, let me find out what year they did this.
Oh,
this
1960 is the cutoff for that.
But I meant how long ago was this story written? It was written 4 minutes ago. So this is new. According to the way they value these things, Jim Otto is the greatest center ever, followed by Mike Webster, followed by Jeff Saturday, followed by Mick Tinglehoff, followed by Kevin Mawai, followed by Tom Nalen, followed by Jason Kelce.
Mm.
Now, I can't sit here and tell you any of those guys were better at the position than Jason Kelce was, and I'm certainly not going to tell you any of them was more beloved than Jason Kelce was. I'm merely going to say, for you to sit here and make the grand sweeping statement and then try and back it up with all of this, with all these opinions, that in my judgment, and people always use the word judgment instead of opinion when they want to sound like more official, like it's your opinion, it's not your judgment.
I'm trying to figure out what you're trying to say here. Are you trying to say here that Jason Kelce is not a Hall of Fame center?
Oh, no, of course not.
And what exactly are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say you just said he's the greatest player in the history of his position, and there is very little documentation that supports that.
So evaluating the position of center using approximate value is basically using the accumulation of games. That's the best. Like, Jason Kelce is not the longest tenured player at the position. My opinion that Jason Kelce is the greatest center of all time is based on a conversation I had with someone by the name of Jeff Saturday,
right,
who is a Hall of Fame center in his own right, who thinks that too. So it is difficult to quantify how good someone is at their job when they do that job. What I can say is over the course of the last 13 years, in a variety of different systems, with a variety of different quarterbacks and coaches, the Eagles always had an ridiculous run game, both quarterback and running back. And Jason Kelce is the biggest reason why. He is the common denominator. We can have a reasonable debate as to whether or not he's the greatest center ever. It's really not one that anyone can win because quantifying it is so incredibly difficult. What I can definitively say is that he played the position at such an outstanding level across an era of Eagles football that was highly successful with a variety of different coaches and systems and quarterbacks, that I can easily and confidently say that he's on the short list of players to ever do it.
So Jim Otto was a first-team All-Pro in 10 of his first 11 years. He was a 10-time first-team All-Pro. Jason Kelce was a 6-time first-team All-Pro. I'm in no way trying to diminish Jason Kelce, whom I love. I'm trying to diminish you. Bubba, help me try and put some sort of perspective into what I'm trying to say here. Hembo's lengthy, like the State of the Union isn't going to last as long as your glorification,
right,
of Jason Kelce moments ago. And I thought it was off-putting, to be honest with you. It was It was definitively overdone. Like, give credit where it's due. He's classy. He's funny. He is charming. He was an all-time great player.
Yeah, he snapped the ball. I mean, great job. I'm happy for you.
No,
he snapped the ball.
He did more. He seems, rumor has it, he did more than snap the ball.
We need to find some in-between how Hembo feels about Jason Kelce and how Bubba
Hembo loses me, which I think he kind of loses you too, when he talks about, like, oh, only in Philadelphia. It's the only place where
place they love blue-collar
There's
players.
No other place where this could happen. No,
everyone else loves prima donnas who complain about their contracts.
Have you been to any other city in the world? I mean, that's where he just takes it too far.
I'm about to vomit from all the words that you're putting in my mouth right now.
You just defined every sports town on planet Earth.
Not true. It's
yes,
different.
It is
it's
true.
Different.
You know what I'm noticing?
It's different.
Cam?
It's different.
Hembo is as sensitive about Jason Kelce as you are about that shirt.
Exactly.
So, I brought up the shirt.
Hembo's as sensitive as Jason Kelce as I am about me. So Hembo basically is such an empath that he's defending Jason Kelce the way I defend myself.
We have had a running bit on this show where I pretend not to know the name of one of Hembo's daughters.
And he doesn't care.
He finds that funny.
It's funny.
But when I question anything about Jason Kelce, you look wounded.
Well, because it's factually untrue.
You look angry.
I take it as an affront because there's nothing behind it. There's no basis behind it. You know, like Jim Otto is.
There's no basis behind you knowing with a fact that no other city could do the, could have the same relationship with a player. You don't know that for a fact.
I do know
you haven't been to, like you said, Pittsburgh. You haven't grown up in Chicago. You haven't grown up in all these other. So you don't know what it's like. Yeah, Phil. That the relationship between Kelce and Philly is 100% correct and true.
Uh-huh.
But other cities could have also had. If Kelce was a Bear and they had the same success, mm-hmm. they might have had the exact same.
I'll tell you what else. If Philly had ever had Joe Montana, he'd be the most beloved player in the history of that town. You've just never had a quarterback that good.
That's also true.
Most people's favorite player in the history of their franchise, like mine, is Joe Namath. Most people's favorite player in the history of their franchise is the quarterback.
It's the quarterback that we never had.
Your quarterbacks have been such that you're the center is your favorite player
and
of all time.
And that's the beauty and majesty of Philadelphia,
yeah,
my friend.
It's only Philadelphia. By the way, Mavs Heat Thursday night presented by Indeed on most of these ESPN radio stations. Trivia, go.
Speaking of legendary players, which active NFL player has played in the most Pro Bowl seasons? The active player with the most career Pro Bowl selections. That's the question.
Does Jason Kelce count as active?
Not anymore.
Okay, fair enough. That's the question. The answer is next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Greeny, the podcast.
Here on ESPN Radio, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. All right, Himbo Trivia, go.
Which active NFL player has played in the most Pro Bowl seasons? Or another way of asking this would be the active player with the most career Pro Bowl selections.
Yes, so the key is selections. Meaning not played in actual Pro Bowls,
that's
which
right.
They don't even do anymore. Okay, it's a good question. I have a guess. Bubba, go.
The first couple of names that came to mind for me were Russell Wilson, the guy we've been talking about. Also, speaking of offensive line, the true great offensive lineman, Zach Martin, far better than Jason Kelce. But I'm actually going to go with Greeny's best friend, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that was the first person I thought
of. I'm going to go with the old man, Aaron Rodgers.
The first thought I had was Aaron Rodgers. Cam?
Yeah, I'm worried since we were just talking about Jason that this is going to be Travis Kelce, but I am not going with Travis Kelce. I'm going to go with Trent Williams.
Trent Williams.
Oh, interesting.
All right, and we have others locked in that Hembo will go through. It would be just like Hembo for this answer to be Lane Johnson, like another Eagles offensive lineman. So the first name I thought of was Aaron Rodgers, and I was going to go Aaron Rodgers all the way through, and then I thought of someone who I would bet has been selected for the Pro Bowl every single season that he's been in the NFL, he's been in the NFL a long time, and that's Aaron Donald. I think, is that who you thought I was going to say, Cam?
No, I thought you were going to say Justin Tucker.
Oh, I didn't think of the kicker. No, but every now and again, a kicker just has a great year. I feel like Aaron Donald, I know he hasn't been in the league that long, but I would guess he has been a Pro Bowl selection in every single season. Rodgers had years where he was hurt. He had some years where he didn't play quite as well. I think Donald has got to be in the league 10 years now, doesn't he? At least. So I'm going to, my guess is Aaron Donald. Who were some of the others that came in?
All right, in the room, we have Brandon going with Trent Williams, and we have Jack and my buddy Travis both going with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so we got a couple of Aaron. I'm going to be very mad at myself if the answer is Aaron Rodgers.
The correct answer is Trent Williams.
Yes! Brandon!
Brandon got it Woo! Right, and Cam got it right. Look at Brandon just walked to the mic. It's not on or anything.
Yes. Okay. Take that, all of it.
The mic wasn't on, but that's good. You said it well. That was nice. You might as well just opened up the window and shouted it out for all the good that just did us, but fairly well done. Okay. He got shot. He got, look at
Brandon. You guys were all over this. So Trent Williams has 11. Aaron Donald and Aaron Rodgers are tied for second with 10.
Oh, my God. We were so close.
All over it.
But what are the scores now? I feel like we haven't done scores in a few days.
I am 20-33. Bubba's 15-31. You are 17-36. Jack is 11-19. Brandon's 10-24. Nick is 6-1. Jay Billis and Dominique Foxworth are both 0-1.
Fair enough. Okay. Is there anything that I was supposed to do today that I didn't get in today? Because I have something kind of fun in mind, or we could go back to Russell. Why don't we end it where we began it today? The Russell Wilson thing is one of the truly astonishing developments in recent sports memory, the degree to which a player has plummeted. And it speaks, I think, volumes to the way he is perceived, not by the media, not by the fans, but by people inside the league. Let us just consider that 2 years ago, an NFL team was willing to make the following trade: Russell Wilson and a fourth round pick for 2 ones, 2 twos, a 5, Drew Locke, Shelby Harris, Noah Fant, and then give him a $242 million contract. That was not even 2 calendar years ago. That deal was made on March 16th. So here we are, 23 and a half months later. That player is being released. The team has decided to eat over $80 million rather than have him a member of their group. And the entire NFL can now sign him for practically nothing, for what it costs, less than what it costs to get a quality backup linebacker because of the particulars of his contract. And no one seems in a rush to do it. He'll find the response I get from everybody is, yeah, he'll find a place after all the other decisions are made. The league would rather spend $40 million on Kirk Cousins, would rather trade assets for Justin Fields or whoever else you want, than to just sign Russell Wilson for next to nothing. I'm not suggesting the league is wrong. I'm suggesting it is an astonishing illustration of how a player's stock has fallen from where it was to where it is in that comparatively short period of time.
I asked myself this question this morning and could not find a satisfactory answer. Has there ever been a player in the NFL that you would definitively say after 10 or so years was going to the Hall of Fame, where 2 years after that you would definitively say was not? Because I don't think it's overstating it to say that's exactly what has happened to Russell Wilson. Over the last 2 years, Russell Wilson has played his way out of the Hall of Fame and has cemented Pete Carroll's place in it. And there's a level, like a Chernobyl-esque radioactivity surrounding Russell Wilson right now that makes it unlikely that he's going to find his next team anytime soon. I think it's one of the most pronounced fall from graces that we've ever seen. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's falls from grace, but yes, outside of that, you're correct. And I don't... As far as your point, has any player ever played their way out of the Hall of Fame? Should you be able to play your way out of the Hall of Fame? What you're suggesting is that he wasn't on a Hall of Fame trajectory, but that he was already in? Because that history is filled with guys who are on a Hall of Fame trajectory and then didn't wind up getting in because they got hurt, whatever the case may be. You're suggesting he literally was a player who 2 years ago, if he had retired, was a Hall of Famer?
That's what I think. Do you think that?
I do. I do.
This is pretty rare then.
Yeah. And you're telling me now you're positive he won't get in.
I think that Russell Wilson has a 0% chance of getting in the Hall of Fame. Zero. The amount of goodwill that he would need to build up in the foreseeable future to reclaim his perch, I think is insurmountable.
I mean,
zero
seems a bit strong.
Exceedingly unlikely. Bubba, do you think there's a meaningful chance that Russell Wilson will be a Hall of Famer someday?
Yes.
A meaningful chance?
Sure.
50-50? Better than 50-50?
I'd say about 40-60.
Let's say he never played again, Bubba. Because anyone, I mean, he might catch on someplace and play 3 great years, and then that would reignite the conversation. If he does not wind up playing again, do you think he gets in the Hall of Fame? You give him any chance?
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah. I mean,
I think there is a chance.
Of course. Yeah. He's a Super Bowl champion.
I do think there's a chance.
9 Pro Bowls.
You know, that one play, like history can sometimes be completely written or rewritten by one play.
Right.
If they hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson's in the Hall of
Fame.
His
most famous play ever.
And they might be a dynasty.
His most famous play ever, the play that defines his career more than any other, is probably the worst play in football history.
Remarkable.
I mean, it's that is the reality of it. And look, it's gotten to the point where I'm rooting for him now. Like, it's become so awful. I'm actually rooting for him because I feel like everyone else is rooting against him. All right, fun day. Hembo and Cam, lighten up. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.